week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Hello and good morning to you. Thank you for inviting me in your homes on this beautiful Sunday morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad therein. Well, let's get right into our broadcast today by doing this song here. This is an old one, sung a lot in some of the churches, great meaning, and let's just let it move across the fibers of our soul this morning as I sing, He Touched Me.
Shackled by the heavy burden, the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Touch me, oh, touch me, and all the joy that floods my soul something wonderful happens. And now I know He touched me and He made me whole. You know, since I met this blessed Savior, and since He touched my life, pinched me, made me whole. My soul reaches out and never ceases just to praise His holy name. And I'm going to shout, I'm going to tell the world while eternity. Oh, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And all the joy that flooded my soul, for something wonderful happened. And now I know He touched me, and He made me. Lord, I come today, I want to thank You. Not for the things I've ever mentioned, maybe before. Not for the blessings that You've already given, but for all the joy that You promised that is in store. So as I bow before You, give me the words to express my deepest thanks. Not for what You've given, Lord, but for the things You took away. You took my guilt, my shame, all my sinful things. You claimed them as Your own. You opened wide Your hands as a guilty man, as You wore my crown of thorns. You took the death I earned, and all I deserve to be. Lord, thank You for what You've given. But most of all, thank You for what You took away. Father, please forgive me for all the times I failed to mention this before. I've been so concerned with treasures, I went so far as to even ask for more. But You've shown me, Lord, what's precious. And not the things that You've given today
Oh, the worth to me is nothing compared to the things you took away. You took my guilt. You took my shame. You took all the sinful things and you claimed them as your own. You opened wide your hands as a guilty man, and there you wore my crown of thorns. You took the death that I'd earned. You took all that I deserved to Calvary. Lord, thanks for what you've given, but most of all for what you took away. Yes, you took my guilt. You took my shame. You took all the things that I deserved, and you hung on Calvary. Lord, thanks for what you've given, but most of all, thanks for what you took away.
You know, sometimes we always are very thankful. I trust that you are thankful. I know that I am. And a lot of times we are thankful for the things that God does for us. But we don't realize sometimes just what he took away from us. He took away our guilt or shame or sorrow or pain. Matter of fact, Isaiah 53 said he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by whose stripes we are healed. And we're so glad today that there's many, many different ways of healing. Healing of our minds, healing of our spirit, healing of our soul. And these are things that God took away. He took away my worry. He took away my threat of pain. Oh, I know I'll still have situations, but he even bear my situations at Calvary. Well, that's not the message today, but I just kind of thought I'd throw that in there. Calvin, Delphia, Lemon, way up in Asbury, hope you're doing all right. Many different people that are listening to broadcast today, we don't know exactly who you are, but we're so glad you tuned our way. Well, let's do this song for all of you that like it. Martha says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, I often slip. Just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love was on his head. Blood was on his scarlet robe, stained a crimson red. Though his eyes was on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. Yes, he loves me.
Martha doing when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Let's go right now before the message today.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in the paths where I must trod. I'll have no fear, for I know He walked beside me, and I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storm clouds raise, storm clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe in the arms of God. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me, and I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear that sound from heaven's portals. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must cross. I'll fall asleep, oh, but I'll wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storm clouds raise, storm clouds rise, they don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. I'll have no fear, for I know He walks beside me, and I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Yes, I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Well, I tell you, in this day and time, we need to definitely know that we are sheltered in the arms of God. Received an email from Phil Ballard the other day, and I liked what it said when we had the earthquake just the other day. It went clear through up to the East Coast. But anyhow, the email said this, said that wasn't really an earthquake. That was only our forefathers turning over in their graves. Well, you know, that's a little humorous, but nevertheless, that could be really the truth. I want to read to you today from Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in these evil days. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all of the saints. Notice that Paul used a very powerful word there in verse 10 when he said, finally, my brother. Now we know that finally means that it's in the end time, and we are, I think, definitely living in the end time. The Apostle Paul felt at that day and time that he was living in the end time, and he preached thus the same message. But this morning, We want to think for just a little bit about the armor of God. What does the armor of God really mean in our lives? I think that Paul made it very obvious here in verse 11. He said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And I wrote down here some things that I think that is very important in my life, and I think they're very important in your life. First of all, we have to have the proof of truth. The proof of truth. You see, just believing it maybe is not enough. There's not too many people that you run into or you meet along the street that says, "Well, I believe in God, I believe in this, and I believe in that." But my friend, the evidence of the life that people live today and the situation that people are in today tells me that they don't really believe in God. You see, the Bible said, if you believed in God, that you would fear God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And when we see these times approaching and we see these things are happening, my friend, how can we just say, "Well, they're just happening"? I believe that the end time is right upon us. I know that the Bible talks about a time of sorrow. I think the Bible teaches about the time of many things happening before the rapture of the church. And I believe that we're living right in that very time. Notice the Bible said there was wickedness in the high places. Every day you turn the television on, you find that there's something going on in the higher places. But you see, Satan fights with his lies. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And yet he fights with his lies. You see, he tries to make himself sound as though he is the truth. But he's not the truth. Jesus said, "I'm the truth. I'm the way. I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father except through and by me." So we see, well, not only believers have God's truth, which can defeat the devil's lies. If you don't know the truth, my friend, you can be defeated by the powers of Satan themselves. You see, he said we must put on the belt, which is to use the truth. And to know the truth is the truth that is going to set us free. And that's very important in our life. We don't have to guess so. We don't have to hope so. We can have a no-so salvation. So we put on the belt, which is to be used as the truth of God. And the truth of God is that Satan is a liar. He has been defeated, defaced, and destroyed many years ago by Jesus Christ himself. Not only that, but we must put on the breastplate of righteousness. Satan often attacks our hearts. You see, the seat of our emotions, our self-worth, and our trust. God's righteousness is the breastplate that protects our hearts and ensures his approval. He approves us because he loves us, and he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. So the breastplate of righteousness is that thing that protects our heart. I remember years and years ago, they sing a song, the Blackwoods sing a song, "Is your heart right with God?" You see, the heart must be the foundation of the righteousness of God. Our hearts must be right. Our hearts must be pure. We used to preach heart purity. Don't preach that too much anymore. Used to preach on sanctification, a separated life. Don't preach on that too much anymore. Used to preach about repentance. Well, don't preach that too much anymore. But my friend, when the heart gets right with God, then my friend, we are righteous in the eyes of God. We need to have our breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is the thing that protects our heart. Our hearts should protect our spiritual life. After all, the heart, we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Not only that, but we need the foot gear, readiness to spread the good news of the gospel. Did you not know that I am here today preaching to you on the radio broadcast? I consider that one of the greatest pulpits that I'll ever preach from. You know, right here this morning, we're preaching across the internet, streaming audio. We're preaching right now on many, many different radio stations. We're also being heard across the shortwave airs. And it's a great miracle that God has given us that we might be able to reach out through airways, through internet, through shortwave radio. I've received emails from Africa. I've received emails from London. Matter of fact, I had a good friend of mine who his daughter and her husband was in the military. They were in London. Excuse me. And he wrote me a letter and said that she could pull us up on the internet, and there she could hear our songs, Martha and I singing, and also hear the preaching. And he said it really gave her a good feeling of just being right at home. So, you see, the readiness to spread the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. Satan wants us to think that telling others the good news is worthless and hopeless. He wants them to think that it's a worthless task. It's too big and it's too negative, responsive, or too much to handle. But the footgear of God gives us the motivation to continue to proclaim the truth of God. It tells us that we can proclaim the peace of God that is available to all people, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone that needs to hear. And when I'm preaching, I don't know who I'm preaching to, don't know who I'm talking to. But this morning I want you to realize that the ministry that God has given us is an important ministry. It's a ministry that's been touched by God. A lady one time witnessed to her piano playing. Oh, she played the piano for many years in the church. And someone said to her one day, said, "My, what a wonderful, wonderful gift of God that God has given you to be able to play that piano like that and bless the hearts of people." And she said, "Well, anybody can learn to play the piano." But the person said back to her, said, "Well, yeah, anybody can learn to play the piano, but I feel it's a special gift from God." And then her thinking began to change. She realized that God had given her a great gift. So she used her gift and her abilities to bless people. So you see, it is a gift of God that is given by God. And that is another way to spread the good news of the gospel. Also, he said, take the shield of faith. What we see here is Satan attacks us in the forms of insults. Have you ever been insulted for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? I've been asked the question many times, are you still preaching? Well, my friend, I'm going to be preaching until my eyes are closed in death. I didn't get in this race to drop out in the middle. I want to run the race with patience. I want to get to the end. I'm like Paul. I'm looking for that reward. I don't want to stop in the middle because God has given me the grace that is sufficient to make it unto the very end. Setbacks, I've had them. Temptation, I've had them. But the shield of faith protects us from Satan's flaming arrows. You see, Satan will throw those flaming arrows at you, trying to destroy your heart, your mind, your conscience. He's trying to destroy your love. He's trying to destroy your home, your church. He is out to kill, steal, and destroy. But remember, the Bible said, "But Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly." I don't know about you, but you remind the devil that you're going to enjoy the abundant life. God's there with you. He is with you in the storms. He's with you on the good times. He's with you in the good times. The McCameys sing the song that God impressed them to sing. He is God on the mountain. He's God in the valley. He is God, and He will never change. So we put on the shield of faith, and by faith we can say to that mountain, "Be thou removed," and can be cast into outer sea. We put on the helmet of salvation. Satan wants to make us doubt God, Jesus, and our salvation. The helmet protects our minds from doubting God. Saving work for us. You see, the bird may fly in your hair, but don't let him make a nest there. Why, some of God's people who used to love the Lord and their mind and their heart was set toward God. But somehow or another, Satan got into their mind and stole their mind and tempted their mind and filled their mind with infiltrated trash. And it became no more than a trash can for Satan to put his trash. Don't let Satan make your head a trash can. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't let everything come into your mind. You need to have the mind which is in Christ Jesus. So we need to put on the helmet of salvation. And finally, we take the offensive sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit was the only weapon that was used in this armor, and that was the armor of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I like what David said. Saul has slain his thousand, but David has slain his 10,000. My friend, a thousand will fall at your right side, but the Bible said it will never come nigh unto you. You see, that's why that we need to put on the helmet of salvation. We need to take a hold and let the helmet of God's love penetrate our hearts, penetrate our soul, and fill us with all of His love. Last of all, I say to you this, the armor that we are to put on is the knowledge of God. And you know, if God be for you, my friend, today I'm telling you, there is no power that can stand against you. You need that knowledge. You need that knowledge that God is going to be there with you. He's going to be there for you, regardless of every circumstance, regardless of every situation. God is going to be your God, and God is going to be your shield and protector in the time of trouble.
When you have the shines by fall, you may live to be 100 years old. But if you have not been saved, it all ends with the grave. For I want us to be together in heaven. Down the street of gold, I want to run through the fields of green clover, see the mansion, smell the flowers, hear the singing, it's all ours. See the river gently flowing, hear the gentle breezes blowing. I want us to be together in heaven.
Our Father, we hope today that we have been able to encourage the people, to strengthen the people. Lord, our strength comes through and by the Word of God. We trust you. We trust the Word of God. It is a lamp unto our pathway. And we trust today that we can walk in, that we can walk to the place that we can please you. We thank you for the people you give to stand with us. We could mention many, many different names here today of people who help on this radio broadcast. People who know that we preach the truth. And that's what we stand for, and that's what we're going to preach. As long as you give us friends, we're going to preach the truth of God. Because in this day and time, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of powers. Thank you for those who are standing faithful. Give us grace. Give us peace in this time of trouble. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I was thinking about my good friend Bob and Evelyn Guy while Mark was singing that song. They always like that. We're thinking about always thinking about our sick and shut in. By the way, our great-granddaughter, we definitely need your prayers for her. She's been having some problems that, we just haven't really found out what the problem is. And we're hoping there's no problem at all, but it's been a great burden for us. Pray for me. Pray for Martha. Pray for us. We need your prayers in this day and time. And trust me, we'll always be thinking about you and always be praying for you. Well, goodbye. Be good. And may God bless you and yours. That is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.